kids' table. It seems it's always that way, around the kids' table for some reason. While the adults were in the dining room, so nobody knew what was going on, there was no significant notice of anything except for me. Before we started eating, my mom threatened us, and I've had this happen to me, with pain of death, if we annoy the adults, you're going to die. I think that's been said to me a few times, and it may have been said as an adult, I don't know, but I know as a kid, that was what was going on. So when the fire got out of hand, I quietly walked to the dining room and stood silently for a minute or two. I can understand that also. Until someone noticed me, and only then did I politely say, sorry, but the kitchen's on fire. Has that ever happened? I don't want to see any hands, any finger pointing, but does anybody have a relative that just does whatever they want or brings whatever they want? My mom always has a specific menu planned out for the holidays, and every year my grandmother brings a not-so-good mac and cheese. My mom always asks her never to put it out. One year my grandmother brought her mac and cheese, as usual, but my mom refused to bake it or even serve it. She kept saying, we already have a cheesy carb. She tried to keep her from putting it out. Then she didn't even put it in the oven and said, we don't have space for it. We got too many things going on. But there was an entire second oven that she couldn't put out. So if you have that one relative that likes to bring those things, maybe find an excuse not to put those things out there. Did any, I guess I shouldn't say kids, but did any of you do pranks during Thanksgiving? I can imagine Jerry White doing this. Back when I was a kid, I thought it would be funny to prank, to put a rubber chicken in the oven before Thanksgiving. My mom would laugh and go on, oh, look at the rubber chicken, look at the rubber chicken. It'd be funny to a 13-year-old. But I didn't realize that normal adults preheat the oven before putting the turkey in. Just thought I'd kick that off with a couple funny stories. I didn't do any of that. I was a perfect child. But no, seriously, I just thought those would be funny. And we're at the time of the year to where it's time to be thankful. It's Thanksgiving. Why is it Thanksgiving? Because of everything that went on in the history of the United States or America. And sometimes I notice things, and I'm not picking at anybody, but we're thankful just during this time of the year. But my message tonight is being thankful or faithful in everything at all times. Psalms 100, verse 4, tells us, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks in everything. Not just the good times, not just the bad times. We need to give thanks at all times. So, when I was growing up as a kid, Thanksgiving was pretty important. We went to two different places, depending on which year it was. My dad's side of the family all lived in Tennessee. My mom's side was right down here. I literally grew up less than a mile from the church camp. She lived out in the country. There were times I could walk through the creek to the church camp, and we did a few times. But when we would go to Tennessee, my grandparents had nothing. If I remember the story correctly, my grandpa, they were very wealthy until the Depression hit and they lost everything, to where they basically, he would move every few years because he would rent a farmhouse and he would move the kids wherever there was a job, whether in Kentucky or they would come up here to the broom corn fields and work for farmers. That's what my grandpa did for a living for years. He would work in the tobacco farms and different things. And so he never really established anything, just enough to get by. There was 9 kids, and they just didn't have it. But they were always faithful. My grandpa made a promise to a man. My grandpa could play the fiddle, and he made a promise to a man when he was a young man that he would never play anything other than gospel music on that fiddle. And my grandpa lived to be 98 years old. The last time he played the fiddle, we have it on a CD, he was 94. And from the time he was a young man until he passed, he did not play anything but gospel music on that fiddle. He just was so faithful. So we would go down there, and all the aunts and uncles would come over to the house, and they were very, very talented musicians. They recorded a few CDs in Nashville at the big recording studios, and they would sit around at my grandparents' house and just play music. We would come over, and when I say play music, they would play for hours. It would start, as soon as we were done eating, somebody would go grab whatever instrument was, and they would play. But they would only play gospel songs or old hymns. And my grandparents, even though they had nothing, were so thankful. They would sit there and smile at those kids and love every second of it. They didn't throw in the towel. They didn't say, we don't have anything. We're done with this. God's not faithful to us. That's not what happened. My grandfather actually, as a kid, I would embarrass me. He would wear bib overalls. That's all he had. He had 2 pair of bib overalls. He had a nice pair for Sunday and then a pair that he would wear out into public, whatever. And he had no teeth, and he was 6'6", and he would go wherever he went. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? And as like a 5-6-year-old kid, that's kind of, why are you asking that guy? You don't know them. But he was faithful to God because God was faithful to him and supplied every need that they needed. Like I said, they didn't have money. There were times that the kids, my dad included, didn't always attend church. My dad played music in the bars, but my grandma and grandpa prayed for them and prayed for them. They prayed for all their kids. A couple ended up being pastors of different type of churches, different denominational churches, but all the kids ended up working in a church somewhere, wherever they lived, whether it was Tennessee, Illinois, some lived other places. And that's why they were so happy and so thankful. They didn't care what anybody thought about them. They didn't care about that. What they cared was all our kids are together and they're serving the Lord. And to this day, they're all still serving the Lord and worshiping God. So my grandparents in Tennessee had nothing, but they asked God to take care of their kids and get them to serving the Lord. And Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I remember my grandpa saying to my dad, I prayed for you. When you didn't want me praying for you, I prayed for you. My grandpa went to prayer and gave thanksgiving when the things weren't going right. When they were going great, he still was thankful for what had happened. My grandma helped raise me because my parents traveled a lot. And so we would go down there, and she had 20 acres, but there was nothing. Part of her house was a chicken coop that they brought up in the 60s and made it part of her house. My grandpa passed when I was a young child, so it was just her. She helped raise some of the family. I don't know if any of you remember Ethel Taylor. Her, Angie Wilhelm's mom, she helped raise them when their parents passed away. She took, I don't know how many of them in, she took them in and raised them for a couple years. Gave what she had. During Thanksgivings, though, in this tiny house, and when I say tiny, it was so small. We had 70 people sometimes in that house. One room was a wood-burning stove, and that room was 110 degrees. You'd eat at the other side of the house because the wood-burning stove, you would get it down, cooled down in there. But my grandma loved that. She would make a pie for every person. She knew what their favorite pie was. So there was 65 to 70 pies sitting out, not quite outside, it was on the front porch where all the wood was for the wood-burning stove that they cut every year. But that didn't bother her. It didn't bother her that her house was not nice. It didn't bother her that she didn't have anything. What she loved was the family coming in. And the things I remember was she couldn't cook for one or two. If there was only one or two, there was always leftovers because she knew how to cook for 8 or 10. And if you showed up at any time, there was always food for you, no matter what. She had 2 or 3 refrigerators, and they were packed full of food. And I never understood how or why, but she always, always had enough for everybody and loved cooking. She didn't go to church originally. My parents, when they got in church, to like most Christians, you're going to hell, you got to go to church, you got to go to church. They were up in their face for years. Finally, my grandma started going to church in Hayworth with us. And at those Thanksgiving dinners, once my grandma started attending church, she started witnessing and started telling all my aunts and uncles, hey, y'all need to come to church. And after a few years, they finally started showing up. And today, all but one goes to church in Hayworth. And not only that, several of my cousins who, they're rough, we'll just say it that way, have been attending church in Hayworth the last couple of years. They didn't have much. She didn't have very much at all. But she was thankful, and she was thankful that the whole family could get together because after time, she started witnessing, and she was thankful she had that chance to say, hey, Jesus can take care of things for you. So you can't just give up on your family. You never know when that step's going to take, and it's going to say, oh, hey, I can come to church now. You never know. It's okay to continuously witness, even though they may walk around going, oh, I'm so tired of it. I did have a cousin say, I'm tired of your dad witnessing to me. It's so annoying. That's all he talks about is church. But that's one of the cousins that went to church in Hayworth. So they may get tired of it, but keep it. Keep going. Keep being faithful. Keep being thankful. 2 Corinthians 9:11 tells us, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on your every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. My grandparents had nothing. They were poor. But their generosity and being faithful and thankful helped show that light that some of the family would have never seen if it wasn't for them giving and just loving and being there. They were never preachers, pastors, but they loved being part of the kingdom of God. They loved everything. They smiled all the time. They gave what they had. They were thankful through everything. Psalms 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to ask yourself this question. Are you thankful with what you have right now? We live in America. My wife made fun of me. There for a while, I only had a couple suits. I didn't like wearing suits. Got a little bit involved in the ministry, and I started seeing suits on sale and sports coats. And now, I think we counted the other day, I don't know, I have 10 or 15 sports coats, suits, or whatever. She also doesn't make fun of me. She gets mad at me. I don't know why. All of a sudden, I like buying dress shoes, a certain type of dress shoes. And all of a sudden, they would come in the mail, and she'd be like, you bought another pair. We have two cars. We have a nice house. My closet's full. Now, that being said, I've lost a little bit of weight. That closet may be emptying soon, thank the Lord, but it gets expensive. But we have so much as Americans. I know there's homeless people, and I get that, but for the majority, we have a roof over our head. We have plenty of food to eat. Plenty of food to eat. We have more than one car, most of us. Some people have 3 and 4 cars. Some people have 5-car garages. Come out to my neighborhood. I'm not one of those folks, but there's some cars and houses out there. We have a lot of family and friends around us that they'll go out to eat with us. Just call them up. I can guarantee you there's people in this church. You call them up any night of the week, they'll go eat with you. Our closets are full of clothes. We have it pretty good here in America. Are we thankful? Or are we forgetting about it? And just, is it another, oh, it's just another day. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get frustrated. Oh, man, this broke. I got to pay for this. Or I don't like my townhouse. I want to move somewhere else. I don't like Illinois weather. Maybe someday God will allow that to change. Am I thankful that I have what I have? And I have to question myself sometimes because I'm not always thankful. I got it going pretty good. I got a job, great wife, one great kid, one ornery kid. You guys can pick which one that is. A lovely granddaughter, about to have a grandson. I'm so thankful for that. But we read about Job. And I'm going down this line here, asking that question. Because Job, in Job 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. I'm perfect, I guess. I'm teasing, I'm sorry. I just had to put that in there. And one that feared God and eschewed evil, or desperately avoided evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. I picture that to today's time. Elon Musk, I guess. He has how many cars, how many houses? Job had everything that you can imagine. He feared God. He desperately avoided evil. And he was thankful during this time. Things were great. Just think, if you had $1 million, how great would that be? Would you be thankful? I'm with you. I know I would. I talk with my brother sometimes, and people say, rich people say, oh, yeah, I'd get bored if I didn't have a job or this or that. And we always joke and say, I'd sure like to try it. Job had a lot of stuff. But then Job lost every bit of it. He lost all his property. His children died. He suffered great physical agony. His wife tells him to curse God and die. In the midst of all that, his friends come to him. You think they're going to comfort him, but they turn around and accuse him of transgressions. Would you still be thankful? Would you still be faithful? Through all this, Job was thankful and he was faithful. He didn't give up, and look what Job ended up getting. Everything back, plus. So that's like getting $1 million, losing it all, your family telling you, dying off, and you stay faithful to God, and then getting $2 million and getting a whole new family. But would you make it through losing all of that? What if you lost your job? We have to have jobs in America. At least that's what they tell me. Would you still be thankful and faithful to God? What if you lost your wealth? No matter how much you think you have is not enough, is enough, whatever, or even your kids. Would you still be thankful and faithful if those things happened? What if your wife or spouse looked at you and said, I don't believe in this anymore. Just curse God and come with me. Do you love your wife more than God or your spouse? Would you be able to stay thankful if all your friends accused you of things and turned on you? Would you be able to handle all of this? I say I could, but I don't know. I would love to not be able to find out. I fear if anything happened to my kids. I fear if anything happened to my grandbaby. I don't know what I would do. I fear if anything happened to my wife. There's days. No. But we'll be married 26 years in February. We've been together for almost 30 years. I don't know what I would do. Honestly, she keeps me in line. And this is not a gloom and doom story. This is just, would you be faithful? We're in the end times. We could lose everything tomorrow. Are you going to stay faithful and thankful to God? Now, I have asked permission for some of these examples, and I'm not wanting to lift anybody up or put them on this pedestal, but I want to give you some encouraging stories of some folks that go to church right here, that some things happened in their life And I would say there were probably times they wanted to throw in the towel and say, why? But they didn't. They stayed faithful to the house of God, and they stayed thankful through everything. And some of these stories have encouraged me. So if I start crying, it's because it touches my heart to see these stories. Y'all know Quentin Guidish that's in the wheelchair. Quentin was born a normal child. He had seizures. They didn't know what was going on. About when he was about 1 year old, Quentin lost one of his legs because of these seizures. Quentin is, he can say a few words, has trouble. The Guidishes struggled, which anybody would. I don't know what I would do. But they struggled through, but they stayed faithful to God. The Guidishes love the Lord. They raised up them kids. They bring them here. And if you see Quentin, he's usually smiling. He always wants to give you a fist bump. He always says, hey! He wants your attention. They made it through. Is it a struggle? Yeah, I didn't say everything was going to be easy, but they made it through. This next one really, really touched my heart. And I asked the parents. I didn't ask their grandparents for permission, so I'm asking for forgiveness. Easton, a little child, gets cancer. I'm throwing in the towel. God, why? Through my situations, I ask God, why? But a little child that you can't help, but they didn't throw in the towel. They didn't say, that's it. God, we're done. I'm so thankful they didn't, because now they're my daughter's youth leader, my son's best friend. And when things are kind of going rough with them, they can go to them and talk about things, because they didn't throw in the towel. They stayed faithful. It was tough. You could see it on their faces. It was tough. But they made it through. And I'm thankful that they did. John and Marlene Carson. This family, I've went to church with you guys I don't know how long. I remember, it's been several years. And some people may know and some may not. John, several years ago, had needed a kidney transplant. Went and visited him in the hospital. And it was so encouraging. He had a huge smile on his face. Loving couple. My parents love them to death, because Sister Marlene can sing like nobody's business. Struggled. Didn't have a lot. But they had God. And as a young man, you see what they started to go through. But seeing the smiles. And always happy. Maybe behind closed doors they weren't. But they encouraged a young man that sometimes things happen and you can go through it. And you can make it. Then just a couple years ago, John falls and, you know, has all the trouble up on his head. Could have thrown in the towel again. God, why a second time? But they didn't. And because of their faithfulness, they have a son that pastors a very large church in Indianapolis. And they're still speaking to me through their actions and lifting me up day in and day out. Like I said, I didn't tell you those stories to say, oh, John and Marlene are awesome. You need to, no, I told them because if you're going through something, you don't have to give up. You can be thankful through every situation. Is it easy? No. But you can stay faithful. Psalms 95:2 tells us, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. I don't care if you can sing or not. I know you can insert jokes there. But sometimes singing gets through. Just singing those old hymns, or if you want to sing the new stuff, I like them both. I grew up on the old hymns. I love just belling out songs. My daughter always says, is there a song you don't know? Well, when your dad played music in the bars, you kind of know every song that's out there. But I'm so thankful that these people can be witnesses to us, that they didn't give it up, because you never know if you give up, if there's a young man or young lady that you give up doesn't get impacted because you gave up. If you stick it out, you could be impacting a soul. You could be impacting a life. There's an old poem. As I was growing up, it seemed like everybody's house had this poem up there. And when I start reading it, you'll probably know what it is. The younger ones may not. It seems like the poem's kind of gone away. And I don't know why, but I do love this poem, and I don't like poems. I'm not an English major. I'm not a fan of that, but I do love this poem. One night I dreamed a dream as I walked along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then I carried you. Sorry, because there's been many times I've failed God because of different trials. And I forgot about this poem, and then I found it. And that last part, it was then I carried you. When you're going through the toughest times of your life, God is carrying you. You don't have to worry about anything. God is taking care of you. It may not look like it. It may seem rough, but God is right there all the time. God is so faithful to us that we need to be thankful and faithful to him, not just when I got the $1 million, or not just when all the kids are healthy and I got all this food on the table and all the bills are paid. That seems like that never happens, but when everything is going good, it's easy. When everything's going rough, That's when you say, Jesus, I'm still thankful. I'm still thankful for you. I'm still thankful that you chose me and you died on the cross for me. During the season of Thanksgiving, we need to make sure that we count our blessings. Hang on during the trials. He is there and he's carrying you. When all the food's on the table, be thankful. I'm not a Black Friday shopper. I feel like that is of the devil. I feel like it's taking over the Thanksgiving season. But before you go out to the mall, Walmart, wherever it is, and there's a crowd of people that you want to hit with a ball bat, thank God that you're able to live in a country that you can go to Walmart, that you can go to wherever it is, shop online. Thank the Lord that you have the money that you're able to do that. And if you're not able to, still be thankful and faithful. Because he's still good. And he still loves you no matter what. So be thankful in everything that you do. Don't let a trial pull you down. Don't let a trial throw you out of church. I'll say it that way. Sometimes I would get frustrated and walk out of church angry. Just still be thankful. Don't let those things get you down. The devil is a liar. It doesn't matter how good, how bad. He's a liar, and Jesus is the truth. And when you are standing there and you're seeing all those things, man, I can't believe this is happening. He's still on the throne. And he's still there. There was an old song that used to be sang, and I can't remember all the words, but it was, Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. So if you're up against the mountain, be thanking the Lord the whole time. Because once you get over it, it gets pretty easy. You can roll down the other side. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Fears of the devil. We tell our quizzers that all the time that are a little shy to hit the button every now and then. That's not of God. Don't let the devil trick you. We still have great things. We have a home that we can look forward to. This is not our home. All the troubles of this life are going to pass away. Everything that we see down here, that's down here. This is not our home. We need to be looking upward, and we need to be witnessing to those around us so they can be looking upward and they can make it through the trials. It's not worth giving up. It's not worth wasting time and giving up like I did. It's not worth it. There's nothing out there. I remember my dad always saying that. There's nothing out there. And I'm like, whatever. I've been out there. There's nothing out there but heartaches and trouble. It may look good for a season, but it's not. The story of the prodigal son, it's true. You may have it all while you're starting out, but it all goes away. And the good thing about it is Jesus is still looking, going, hey, where you at? Where you at? The whole time. So don't let a trial get you down. Be thankful. Be faithful. And encourage others. Tell your story. Because you never know who you're impacting. Love you all. I know I'm ending early. So let's pray real quick. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross. We thank you, Lord, that you're not only there when the times are great. We thank you, Lord, that you are there through all times. Lord, we ask that you remind us this next week as we go into the Thanksgiving season that we remember to be thankful for everything, that we don't forget that it's just about food or about shopping, that we witness to our families, Lord, that we tell about the greatness that you've done in our lives and that you're doing in others' lives. Lord, we are so thankful for what you're doing for this church, through this church. We ask that you continue to bless us. We thank you, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen, amen. Have a great week.